It's year 11 of the Anchorage International Film Festival, and in case you were wondering, we are not getting a pre-theatrical release of the Whale movie shot here, or the other one. They're money movies. I'm not going the festival circuit. There will be plenty of other imagery to light up the screens in the dark of midwinter. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk@alaskapublic.org as we investigate our local filmmakers and the film festival on Talk of Alaska statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by the Muskox Producers Co-op, whose members have hand-knit Akiviut items since 1969, enhancing a subsistence lifestyle in the remote villages.
Every Alaskan can make a difference when we file online for our PFD. You can shelter families in crisis, nourish the hungry and homeless, and protect those who have suffered abuse and neglect. And it's easy to share a little of your PFD through Pick, Click, Give. And good things will happen for the causes you care about. This message sponsored by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and BP. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Gangbusters. The movie industry in Alaska can be characterized as gangbusters. It's not even really confined to Anchorage. It's this kind of shoots happening all over the state. Some you hear about, some you don't. The crews don't particularly want to have publicity for the most part. They just want to get their job done and make the movies. But what's happening is we've got a local talent pool that is growing by leaps and bounds, and we can only guess as to what sort of synergies are going to be developing as the years go on in between the movie shoot business, which is happening in Alaska, and the people in Alaska who make movies. And then we have this film festival, year 11 now of the Anchorage International Film Festival. Welcome back to the show, Tony Shepard. I think this is the third year that we've done one on this subject.
Oh, really? Well, thanks, Steve. 3 years. I was wondering how many years I have come here and spoken with you.
You know, the first time you came with your kids.
Really?
They were in the background. They kept making noise.
Yeah,
I'll never forget.
Yeah, you know.
I think there was an incident last time with the cell phone. I don't know if you have.
I turned it off this time.
But
yes, my
poor kids. We're making progress here.
Yeah, I often have kind of the only regrets I have with the film festival is the time away from my family each year. But this year, now they're both getting older. My daughter's 16 and my son's 12, so they're coming to most of the screenings. And speaking of, most of the screenings are family friendly this year. I wouldn't say the content's really geared towards children, but it's just a nice to be able to have a program.
Well, that's actually very good to know.
Thank you. Yeah, opening night film especially. It's a
well, you
great
have
film.
One. What, the martini matinee? There's a couple that are...
Yeah, the martini matinee, and there's a horror film or two that we don't recommend that you bring your children to. But otherwise, we have a nice, diverse program with a lot of family film programming involved in it.
I'll tell you, the program for this thing comes out, and I don't know about anybody else, but I have to do deconstruction. I have to sit there and match the schedule up with my schedule, which is a weird schedule anyway, because I have to get up at 3 a.m. every day. But regardless of that, I have to figure out, we got so many days of the festival, and we have most of the films are showing maybe twice. And I got to figure out, is there going to be one where there's going to be a huge crowd that I'd rather go to the other one, and what time of day, and can I make it, and what ones do I really want to see? And some are going to have to be sacrificed. There's so many movies in here, it's not possible to see them all. And this has been this way. That's part of the fun of a festival. Really.
That's true. That's part of the fun. And the amazing thing is that there is a will, there is a way for some of the folks out there. Now, most of us have too busy of lives to make it to all the films, but we schedule them, some of them twice, to give that opportunity to the real fans to be able to check almost every program off their list. It amazes me each year that some of the film fans that I see at every venue, basically, in every screening. So it's an incredible mix of films. But yes, it's a lot to absorb. And speaking of deconstruction, constructing that program guide and schedule is quite the beast. And I had my hands involved in it again for the first time in several years. And so I know from experience that it's a diverse program, and the scheduling is pretty tight. But if you really plan, you can make it to a lot of shows.
Right. Well, I want to introduce our other guest here. This is Paul Jones, Alaska filmmaker. Paul, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
I think I saw you in Beekeepers last year at the festival.
That's right. I had a cameo in that movie as Dale's brother, actually reprising my role from Beekeeping, the first movie. Right, Beekeepers was a sequel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Now, you're going to be one of the workshop people. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, because, you know, the festival always does have these workshops. We've had a bunch like animation, things like that. What is yours going to be?
Well, first of all, I'm doing this this workshop with Bryant Maynard, who is actually the writer and director and one of the lead actors for Beekeepers and Beekeeping, and he's a very prolific local filmmaker. And what we're going to be doing is doing a workshop on independent filmmaking, specifically geared towards, trying to give people, based on our experiences, a broad overview of what you need to take into consideration when you're looking at trying to make your own movie. And then also we're going to talk a lot about people's ideas and creative ways to sort of solve the kinds of problems that arise and get the movie made.
So there'd be a good interplay Q&A for aspiring filmmakers.
That's right. Yeah, we really are imagining it being driven largely by discussion. Yeah. You know.
I'll talk a little bit about Beekeepers, because it was an entry, and I understand that you didn't make it.
I acted in it, and yeah. I'm good friends with those guys, and right. was sort of around while they were working on it. But no, I did. I wasn't.
It's an interesting film. It's a local film, and I was amazed, I guess, as someone who used to be in the industry, at the technical quality of it.
Sure, yeah.
It seems that it's actually possible now, with the kind of equipment you can buy off of the shelf, to reach this level of quality.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, the face of movie making is changing and is going to change a lot more because of that. The technology is becoming so much more accessible.
Yeah.
And if that film would have had a marketing budget like the studio films, it would have been a big hit, I tell you.
It was funny.
It was a great film, and it had great production values. I was really, as the feature film programmer for the film festival, I love seeing that kind of product come from our local Alaskans. And that it was a true independent film, so it was an incredible job they did with, I'm guessing, no budget at all, or very little budget.
Very minimal, yeah.
Pizza and beer, huh?
That was something like that, yeah. And, you know, that movie did get some play on the festival circuit, too. It was awarded Best Ensemble Cast at the Seattle True Independent Film Festival.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, part of the Anchorage International Film Festival that we're talking about here on Talk of Alaska, our telephone number 1-800-478-8255. That's 478-TALK. A local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk at alaskapublic.org. There's certainly a lot to say about the movie business in Alaska, in a number of different ways, but specifically on the festival, and I rather expect we will expand beyond that as the show goes on. You have a category in here, Tony, known as Snow Dance. Now, I'm wondering if that's, given the kind of interplay that is going on and the rising quality of locally made and locally themed movies, where maybe that category is becoming obsolete.
You know, I wouldn't really say it's becoming obsolete. I would have to say it's becoming
Well, it's kind of like an affirmative action thing.
Well, originally there was a lot of Alaskan films that didn't have the skill and the talent of the screenplay.
Yeah,
Not that I'm dissing any Alaskan filmmakers. There's always been fantastic filmmakers in the state. But, in the beginning, we were rejecting a lot of the films because we had this great international film, which couldn't say this is as good as this. So,
last year you had that huge budget Chinese martial arts epic about the banking industry. You know, for some reason, the banking families of China chose to subsidize this virtually unknown filmmaker to do this huge budget thing and gave him access to all these locations that no other filmmaker gets to. You know, I mean, these are What? How could he pass something like that on?
Right, right. Steve, you know, and Snowdance is kind of a conflicting personality within the festival. I would be, you know, tickled to death if the best feature film was a Snowdance film, feature film made in Alaska. I mean, that's my goal. And I do see it expanding. And
getting closer, though.
Well, and we are getting closer. And with, like, Beekeepers last year, it shows you that stuff's right on the edge to compete with these international hits, you know. But needless to say, I do see Snowdance growing and evolving and more better product coming from our local Alaskans. So in the future, eventually it could engulf the festival. We could have nothing but Alaskan films because there's going to be so much great product sent in as submissions right. that we'll have a presentation for.
And then you get the another thing that's happening thematically that probably no one could have predicted is that you're getting a huge Native American presence, and especially Arctic Native American presence, and not just Native American, but Inuit. Your big keynote movie that starts off the whole festival is quite the piece.
Yeah, it is, Steve. Inuk's a fantastic film with a strong relationship to the Inuits of Alaska. And just that aspect of Snowdance, too, is another part that I see evolving. I would, you know, that's my next step, too, is to really embrace the Alaskan Native culture in filmmaking, independent filmmaking. And we see more and more of that coming out. In fact, before we present Inuk, the feature film at the opening night gala, we're going to present Day in Our Bay by Bristol Bay. I've got the title wrong. Day in Our Bay, Voices from the Bay, I believe, is the title. I have to look in the program guide here. But it's a great short film. So we have this complement to the feature, and we also have this theme building within the festival of celebrating Alaskan Native film. And that's going to be kind of our feel and theme for the opening night gala.
Yeah, I really, it's quite encouraging to see this coming forth. And I think also it's not beyond imagining that some money gets thrown in that direction, some funding gets thrown in that direction.
That's been really one of the other areas of the festival maturities that I think we're finally seeing as a viable arts organization that really supports, in a sense, the world's most creative art form. And I think that's part of what's making more of the festival have this energy and getting these contributions and getting more filmmakers involved locally and organizations. We're growing, and people recognize that, and that's coming in through support as well.
So for those who don't know, let's just kind of do the 101 on it. You have essentially, I guess, three different venues. Sometimes they're going at the same time. And then there's screens lit up, three different screens lit up. Actually four, right?
Well, actually five.
Five?
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah, there's a couple times and we have five screens going on.
So Alaska Experience, you can get two screens
in there?
Yeah,
there's two screens. They have
two. And then out north, they're using the gallery as well as the theater, is that
correct? Yes.
Good heavens.
Yeah, it's quite the, combination.
And then, of course, the Beartooth, which, you can get food with your movie there.
Yeah, we love the Beartooth, don't we all, that have been there. Yeah, we have a lot going on. In fact, as I put it, we'll have more film screening within 10 days than all the other theaters in town put together in 2 months. So, and it gets a bit crazy, but we've got a system down and it all runs pretty smooth. We present a lot of our films from DVD and Blu-ray DVD. We're completely weaned ourselves from 35 film, and so it is a digital world now, which makes things a little bit easier. There tends to be a little bit more on occasion problems because digital devices have, you know, they're not as the old analog film, you know, linear, you know,
Tony, that
technology.
Is so aggravating when that happens.
Trust me, as a program director, I have a knot in my stomach until that show is gone through almost the entire, you know, movie, because you just never know. But with that said, 99% of our shows, you know, that go out without a glitch. But it's a lot of media to manage. Trust me, it's a lot of media.
Huge. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah, I'm getting tired just thinking about it.
So you're overbooked. I understand you're going to have to leave the show early?
Yeah, I've got other obligations. Uh-huh. We've got two or three more days here until the festival starts. But, lots going on, and I've got to move on here shortly.
A person wanting to go to the film festival, first they should get the schedule. It's available online.
It is available.
It's being handed out at all the usual places. Mm-hmm. And then it probably pays to, like, figure out what you want to see.
Yeah.
And read all these little thumbnails on things. And on like that.
Right. Definitely educate yourself.
And then I guess at the website, there's even some trailers.
Yeah, there's trailers. The website online guide is fantastic, and it's www.anchoragefilmfestival.org.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to get an online schedule, go there. There's also a PDF. But, yeah, you really have to go through the guide and decide what films are right for you and what you can squeeze in.
And then there's
the
business of maybe deciding if you're going to go and spring for the, what is it, $100 now?
The $100 pass, all films pass. It gets you into all the movies for free. It's a discount for the opening night gala.
But you have to show up like 45 minutes early.
Yeah. You know, we've gotten some things ironed out as far as the pass holder allotment. But there is an opportunity with that pass to really get your money's worth if you're a fanatic. Or even if you're not. Basically, for $100, you could see as many shows as you want. So if you see more than 8 or 10 shows, it's paid for itself. And it also gets you into some of the special events for free as well. So it's a bonus to have the pass if you go see more than a few films.
Can you disclose, or if we got almost always there's some surprise mystery guests and so forth that show up, filmmakers that, you know, come from, you know, Bosnia or China.
It's incredible, Steve. Yeah, I got a list, and my favorite filmmaker was this woman from the Beijing School of Film, and you know, she had never been to America before, and you know, why would she visit the Anchorage International Film Festival? Because people love Alaska. If they've never been there, from wherever they're at in the world, they've heard of Alaska, and they always have this curiosity. But yeah, this year we're going to get filmmakers once again from all corners of the globe, and I
will never forget that the Turkish filmmaker, the family.
Yeah, wasn't that great? So
that was among the most touching experiences, and for a film festival.
Thank
especially.
You, and that makes it so much more rewarding. And the story was there is that we had the Turkish filmmaker come with the Turkish star. We didn't know who these gentlemen were. I did a little research, but they turned out to be major fans in Turkey. So when they showed up, they had a lot of Turkish Alaskans there waiting to get their autographs. And I just thought that, you know, that was just fantastic, and it made the filmmaker and the star too feel like it was a real special time for them.
The acting was fabulous.
Yeah, it was a great film. I'm surprised it wasn't nominated for a Foreign Academy Award. But we have several films of that stature this year. It's an amazing program, all the way from Snowdance to shorts to animation and, of course, feature-length films.
Well, okay, you're going to have to walk out the door here in about 6 minutes. But, Tony, before you go, Tony Shepard, founder of the Anchorage International Film Festival, you were part of the jury for the features. You've seen them all. You know, might know something about my taste. Which ones are you going to say, you know, Steve Heimel, be sure you don't miss this one, and this one. Give me three.
Can I make it easy and say, see them all? Steve, I was in the selection process and programming. I wasn't on the jury as far as voting for which was the best film, but I'll have to say absolutely the opening night.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Enuke is absolutely the film that everybody should see, and you can bring your kids if you like. Otherwise, I'm going to have to just take a couple of shots in the dark here and tell you my favorite. The Dead Inside is the funnest film in the festival. It's a zombie musical, and it's done on like any zombie musical that's been done before. I don't know if there's been one done, but it's a fantastic film. We'll have the filmmaker here, and that's the best part about both of these films. We'll have the filmmakers here, and in some cases, the star or the screenplay writer for Enuke especially. So there's The Dead Inside. I'll have to give you one more. I'm going to just say Andante, which is the film that we gave the new award out to that we have, the Aurora Award. And that screens on Sunday at 3 o'clock in the Alaska Experience Theater. Was it Saturday? Oh, my gosh. It's the first weekend, 3 o'clock at the Alaska Experience Theater. That film has a special place in my heart because I love creative art house film. It may be a little slow-paced for some, but it's a real thinking person's film, and it's very creative and artistic. And I love seeing creative, artistic film. And that's one reason why we decided to have this award. We wanted to let filmmakers know worldwide that we support these kind of films, these art house films that don't get the mainstream opportunities. And we want to, you know, we want to be able to appreciate and recognize these films that are like that.
Well, I think we, you know, in fairness, Alaska is, as a movie audience, probably Alaskans are a pretty wonderful audience. Kind of like we like our bookstores. We like our libraries.
We like our ice cream.
We do. We like our ice cream. We like our espresso. And we like our movies. And the thing about a festival is these are movies you're not going to see for the most part. This is your only chance to experience these views into different creative approaches, different, I mean, some of them are formula, but their formula may be taken to the point of being a joke, like a zombie musical, for instance. They are like new approaches, a window on different cultures, you know, and here we are, the darkness coming in on us, and the screens light up and take us to all these places.
Yeah, it's a type of process that, as I explained it, it's the art gallery of film. And in like art galleries, some pieces are so unique you will never have a chance to see that piece in real life. Ever have that opportunity unless you go to that gallery. So if you go to the film festival, you'll have a chance to see films that won't hit the big box, movie theaters, and you won't be able to see, for the most part, on Netflix and on demand. But I do have to say, now that I'm thinking out loud here, that on demand and Netflix are picking up more and more of these films.
They are.
And they're supporting more and more of these international films as well. So, but this is a rare opportunity for people to see a film on the big screen that they definitely won't be able to see on the big screen anywhere else.
I'm thinking for instance, Wrecking Crew. Can you get Wrecking Crew? Isn't there still some kind of hang up that one's not available? we're lucky because we got to see it at the festival.
Steve, I believe you're correct. I don't know all the specifics on that, but I do know that
probably
film.
Probably copyright stuff.
Yeah, there was some release distribution. I wouldn't really call them issues, but they had some limitations there. So for a lot of people, the only chance to see the Wrecking Crew was through the Anchorage International Film Festival or another film festival. And you can't find that on demand, that's for sure.
And there are these just playing festival movies. They really don't, get much happening in the theaters. No theater really.
Yeah, it's sad in a sense because there's so much good film that is not picked up by distribution because they don't have the studios to back them up to do the marketing campaigns that are required. So I just over the years I have my little library of film festival films that are absolutely, I think, the best films in the world, and it's sad that we can't share these with more people. On occasion I feel like can we call up the filmmaker and ask him if we could screen it again? But then you need to the resources to do that, but needless to say.
Well, Tony, I know you have to leave, but last time during the show, it felt to me that you were kind of pulling back and letting the festival kind of go into other hands, and it's gotten big enough, professional enough, it has more of a budget, I can sit back and enjoy the movies. I'm not getting that feeling from you this time. I'm getting a hands-on feeling from you this time.
Well, I took over the reins of president of the board. Rand Thornsley was president the last several years, and great president that he was.
Fabulous.
So, and so in that position, what I have discovered that it's tough to be the program director and the marketing director at the same time. And so I'm playing those three key roles, and it has me a little frazzled. I'm hoping to get some sleep. But, the nice thing is that it's so much more of a rewarding payoff for me once the festival starts.
Amen.
But we do have better funding and better systems, but I need to now focus in the future of just being either the guidance from the president of the board or a program director or possibly the marketing director or maybe Snowdance director. That was one of my ideas.
Ooh,
is to become, I'd like to enhance Snowdance. But either way, it kind of comes with the territory and there's some transitions, but I'm looking forward to Film Festival 2012. I feel like I could already say that. It's amazing.
What did you call filmmaking? What did you call it? You distinguished it. You were totally superlative about.
Oh my gosh! What did
I say? The premier art form of our age, or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I can't.
What was it? Possibly the most creative, or the most relatable, or something along those
lines.
Well, I happen to agree with whatever you said. I don't remember the exact words.
And maybe it was popular. Most popular art form there is. Let's face it. I hate to say it. Nothing will surpass literature in that aspect of art. But
I thought I had
film.
You're trying to squirm.
I got to work on one of these because people have asked my philosophy before on film and film festival, and I said, whatever works, whatever I like is my philosophy. philosophy, to have fun and enjoy and learn something at the same time.
Tony Shepherd, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Talk of Alaska. I know you got to leave, so
yeah, and
feel free to take off the earphones and pop out the door.
Thank you, guys. It was good to have Paul here. Paul is with the Mom Festival as well, and Paul has done a lot in the community with Open Projector Night and all these other events that go on. I can't even keep track. There's also another film festival in town, by the way. So with that,
amen.
I'll say see you at the film. See you at the movies.
Yeah, unplug that that earphones or a little feedback. How do I do it? Thank you very much. Very good. Thank you, Tony Shepherd. It's Talk of Alaska. Our telephone number, 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. A local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. We're talking about the Anchorage International Film Festival, film festivals in general, the movie business in Alaska, Alaska filmmakers, and what do you say in a motion picture? Used to be you needed a big, fat budget to make a movie. Nowadays, you, as we've been hearing from our other guest, Paul Jones, you don't need, I mean, basically, you could do it out of your own pocket. How would you advise, I mean, you like the writing part, I like the writing part. Paul, how would you advise someone that wanted to start? Would you say go for a short? Go for shorts for 3 or 4 years? What do you think?
You know, it's really hard to give any kind of really specific advice. I mean, obviously, it makes sense to start trying to make a short as opposed to a feature-length movie because it's much more manageable. But I think that, you know, if somebody wants to be creating movies or working on them, the best advice is always to do whatever you can, however you can. And the important thing is to be doing something, you know, find stuff to get involved in, write your own stuff. You know, you need to sort of follow your instinct to whatever sort of project seems to fit you best. But the important thing is to be doing something, because once you start building that kind of momentum, it builds on itself. You meet more people, you find more opportunities to get involved in more things.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, you went to UAA.
I did. I got a theater degree from there.
And you have chosen, many people I know who went through that just felt they had to leave. There wasn't enough mass. If you wanted to be an actor, if you wanted to direct, they left. Some of them came back. But you haven't left. You got a job down in Homer.
That's right. And that wasn't necessarily a decision that I came to as much as it was just sort of where my path led me. And when I was in college, I started going down there doing youth theater in the summer down in Homer. You know, it just kept calling me back year after year. And mostly it was because, I'd been working with these really cool, really creative kids. And, I mean, kids are so fun, you know, just a nonstop fountain of ideas. So, and then the job just kind of kept growing and growing, you know, and then eventually it got to the point where I had moved to Homer and was the, you know, artistic director of the youth theater program. And so that kept me in the state for a long time. And then following that, I went and looked around LA and Chicago and checked some stuff out. And I came back to Alaska to sort of save up some money and figure out exactly where I was going to move, because I was planning to move out. And then the motion picture industry came here. And next thing I knew, I started getting jobs on, you know, major motion pictures right here in Anchorage, Alaska. So for now, there's not a super strong reason to leave, you know.
No, I wouldn't say there is. So is there anything lined up? Anything you can talk about?
Well, you know, it's...
I mean, you were involved in Frozen Ground, you
That's
were telling
right.
me.
Yeah, I worked on that.
I know there's things you can't say. And as a matter of fact, that fortunately, I think just about everybody's left town now.
the production office is still open. They're still finishing things up. But yeah, they finished shooting and the main crew has left. And yeah, you know, I was the dailies coordinator on that movie, which meant that I actually checked with them about what I was okay to say on the radio for some previous radio programs that I did. But I was the dailies coordinator, which meant my job was to take the footage that they would shoot every day, and then the next day I would work with it and put it on DVDs and then distribute it to everybody who needs to watch it. So that was my job. And I obviously can't say anything about the details of the movie, but I will say that it looks fantastic. I mean, I was really genuinely getting excited every morning watching the dailies, because it was shot in Alaska and it shows in every frame and it looks like a really cool movie.
And plus, you know people that are in it.
That's right.
And you got to know people in the crews and so forth.
That's right. Yeah. Well, there's at this point a pretty big group of Alaskans that are moving from production to production. So there's actually quite a community that I've been getting involved with. And so at this point, there's a lot of people that are working on the crew that I know. And then this movie was really exciting because I was watching the dailies and actors that I knew kept popping up in scenes with the big famous actors, which was really exciting, too. And they looked fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, anybody who's sort of familiar with the Anchorage art scene will see some familiar faces in that movie when it does finally release.
Our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255-478-TALK. If calling from Anchorage, it is a local call at 550-8422. Email is talk@alaskapublic.org. We're talking about the film business and filmmaking in Alaska as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
The Pebble Partnership, developing a comprehensive mine plan that meets Alaska's regulatory requirements while supporting sustainable fisheries in Southwest Alaska. PebblePartnership.com. Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska, which has been providing quality health plans to companies and individuals in Alaska for over 60 years. More at Primera.com. Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska. We know the territory.
And by
Alaska Business Monthly, providing a source for statewide in-depth business news on Twitter at AK Business Month or Facebook.
Movie business, the subject on Talk of Alaska today. The telephone number 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. I'll bet you there are a bunch of people listening right now who have bumped up against the movie business in Alaska, and if you've got a story to tell, we're more than happy to hear it, and the rest of Alaska is as well on Talk of Alaska. With me is Paul Jones. He's going to do a workshop at the Anchorage International Film Festival. He's part of the crew of the festival, and he was part of the crew of On Frozen Ground, which is done shooting and just wrapping up here now in Alaska, the latest major motion picture to choose to shoot in Alaska. And he was explaining to us about how there's getting to be, I guess you would call it kind of a gypsy fleet of Alaska crew people who are ready to assist in these projects. And Paul, I guess I'm going to have to ask you, there is so much going on in this business now, and it is so hectic when it happens, that I'm wondering when you find time to do your own projects.
Well, you know, it actually winds up working out pretty well. There's a pretty good rhythm that develops because, you know, I'll get a job on a shoot, and it's always a very contained amount of time. So for 5 weeks or 6 weeks, however long it is,
That's money. They want to keep in schedule.
That's right. Yeah, they're interested in being as expeditious as possible. So and also, you know, for that time, like, that's pretty much your life, working on a production like that. And then it ends, and you know, I've made a little money, and all of a sudden I've got a lot of free time. And that's, you know, so it winds up, you know, being pretty easy to work in my own projects. And the other cool thing that comes out of it is that working with this group of Alaskan crew on these big movies, you know, when the project ends, I know that all of a sudden everybody has a gigantic gap in their schedule and is ready to do something creative. So, you know, it's a really good opportunity to recruit people to help out with some of that stuff.
I see what you mean. Why leave?
Right, exactly.
These are the good years.
It has. It's been a lot of fun. It's been really exciting. And you know, it's also really sort of fed the local independent film community, because everybody, I mean, this whole experience of working on these huge productions is so educational for everyone involved, you know. So it's really great to go out and get a chance to see how the professionals are doing it, and then go home and try to apply some of those ideas to our own stuff.
So how far back do you go with the shoots being located in Alaska? The first one that I remember was Salmon Berries, that was shot up in Kotzebue. There have been others, of course, but first one I personally remember was from the 80s. K.D. Lang came up here, and it was Percy Adlon, I think, was a guy that made it. And it was really quite an interesting motion picture.
I recall that. I tried to watch that movie in the early 90s, but at the time, I think I was 12 or something.
Yeah.
It was kind of over my head. But no, the beginning of my involvement was Everybody Loves Whales, which was the movie that they shot.
So you missed
around.
The Sean Penn extravaganza.
That's right.
Into the Wild.
I did, but
a lot of people had fun with that.
That's right. I actually have a very good friend who worked on that, who was the guy who actually got me the job on Everybody Loves Whales.
All right. Yeah. See, that's how it works. So now here you are, Paul Jones, and the word's out in Hollywood now. Paul Jones is our go-to guy for dailies. If you're shooting in Alaska, just get in touch with Paul. He'll get the dailies to your whole crew.
Well, that would be nice if that were the case, but I don't think I've quite reached the point where
at that point
I'm not sure people in Hollywood are totally familiar with my name yet, but
you never know, Paul. Word gets out fast.
But you know, that does remind me of something else I wanted to mention that's been really cool on Frozen Ground, is that a lot of the professionals from Hollywood that worked on Everybody Loves Whales returned to work on that movie. So there is this energy developing between the Hollywood folks and the local crew. And, so they're getting to the point now where they're starting to return, and they already know people that they can call for jobs and things like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this stuff is when you come flying in, this is a big advantage if you know, I mean, just like where to get your catering. And, I mean, just basic nuts and bolts things. If you got local fixers that can deal with all this stuff, you're ahead of the game. You're going to be able to make more efficient use of your time, your equipment, and all that. And there's a lot.
Oh,
as
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
When you do a big production, there's an awful lot.
There is. It's always really impressive to watch the way that everything's orchestrated and organized.
Yeah.
You know, it's a well-oiled machine. And
they're getting so good. And then, do they still use the green screens, blue screens now? Green screens, what is it?
Green is the favored color because that is the color that's generally least likely to show up in clothing or skin tones.
I see.
So that's usually the one they prefer. And yeah, you know, to different degrees, it's a tool that's used really frequently for all kinds of things. You know.
Well, let's go to Fairbanks where David joins the program. Welcome to Talk of Alaska about the movie business, David.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah, I'm a film major at University of Alaska Fairbanks, and the program just started. I got to work on the Alaska Land film written and directed by Chinoy Achukwu earlier this year. And, I feel like kind of film is having like a new era in at least Fairbanks, you know, Alaska for sure.
You know, maybe not this time of year so much, but the fact of the matter is that anybody who shoots imagery comes to Alaska and they start raving about the light. And you just start raving about it because it's so incredible. And the fact of the matter is, up in Fairbanks, you got even more of that crazy light than we've got in Anchorage, where a lot of these shoots are going on, I think. I mean,
our magic hour is like 3 hours.
Exactly. And magic, you probably should explain what magic hour is, because a lot of listeners won't know.
It's that 1 hour, you know, where just the sunlight is just perfect and makes everything look great.
It makes everybody look great. Yeah. So what part of the business do you like as you go through your film studies there, David?
I got to do some work on the art department, and that was, you know, that was fine. I'm okay with it, but I'd really like to do directing. You know, I kind of feel like I can help keep a story together, so.
So you like the actual making of it, the auteur part of it?
Yeah, and the, you know, combining, like, you know, I know lots of makeup artists and costume designers and actors and writers, and I like, you know, bringing the community together to make that.
Well, you know, I really think it's only a matter of time before we get a major zombie movie out of Alaska movie makers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, frozen zombies are going to happen, so.
He's just got to. I mean, it's a natural.
Well, there was an independent zombie movie shot in Talkeetna last year. Did you hear about it?
Oh, yeah, no.
That was earlier this year,
I did.
Actually. Yeah. Frostbite. I actually played a zombie in that.
You did?
Movie. Yeah. Well, I was a human for about a scene, and and then the main character got the best of me. I got turned into a zombie.
I lived in Pittsburgh, and of course, when it's time for a zombie movie, everybody shows up.
Oh, so I love zombie movies. They're great.
Pittsburgh got known for zombie movies. So what do you think, David, what do you think Fairbanks is going to get known for as a movie location. What kind of movie can you see happening out of Fairbanks?
I don't know. Well, so far we've mostly just had, you know, kind of quiet, you know, dramas. But I don't know. I feel like there is some kind of emotional intensity in Fairbanks that comes with all the extremes.
Yeah.
You know, but it would be nice to see a story that isn't set in winter and kind of like moody, you know. So, maybe that's just our thing.
Well, I will say, I think that I don't know if you've seen it. I saw it at the festival, and I don't know if it ever got on the theaters or not. But I thought Chronic Town was actually quite a good film.
Oh, it's actually going to be shown again Friday, I believe, on campus. So, but yeah, I know it was. I'm excited to see it again now that I'm involved with the film program.
Nobody even knew these people were coming. I mean, they just decided they were going to shoot this movie in Fairbanks about being cold, dark and depressed and sitting out in the snow and it's way below zero and all that kind of stuff. And they went and made the movie. You know, it's quite good, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that really kind of set, like, that kind of created an example because they combined a lot with the university to get students and the crew.
Yeah.
So, and that, I think we're going to see a lot more of that because, you know, it's hard to get a lot of people in Fairbanks in particular. So if you have students who are willing to do small jobs, you don't have to fly anyone up.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to hear from you, David, and best of luck. I look forward to hearing from you some years on, see when we take up this issue and what's become of you and your ambitions.
Well, thank you. I'll be around.
I'll be around. Okay, let's go to Joy in Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Joy.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
I'm a big fan of Dana Stabenow's series set in the Wrangell St. Elias Park. And I know that there were some options on her books by several movie makers. And I wondered if you or your guests knew anything more about what was progressing in getting this series to film.
Oh, great. Yeah, great question, because I know she insisted on Alaska location, and, you know, the deal went down. Sometimes these deals take a long time to go all the way through, and I honestly don't know. Have you heard anything about Dana Stabenow?
Well, I know that, the option was bought by a local producer, and I, you know, there's no official word on how that project's moving forward. Right. I do hear that, you know, sort of the general thing that they're intending to do something, but, you know, these things often take quite some time. So, I'm not privy to any inside information about that.
Yeah, Joy, I'm afraid I got nothing new, nothing fresh on that for you.
Although, Joy, I would like to recommend another Alaskan mystery series by my father, Stan Jones.
Ah!
He writes mystery novels set in the Arctic.
They're great.
The first one is called White Sky, Black Ice. Again, the author, Stan Jones. I recommend checking it out.
Uh-huh. That's nice.
Yeah, I think I know him. Doesn't he work at the Anchorage Daily News for a while?
He does, and he actually worked up there at the Newsminer for quite some time when I was a lot younger.
Yeah, and at KOTZ. He worked at KOTZ, too.
That's right. Yeah, he was an anchor at KOTZ. Well, we're going way back. That's where I was born, in fact, Kotzebue.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Dana Stabenow's work and her characters come alive on the screen. So thanks for taking my call.
All right, Joy. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, this is so funny. What you have to say, I mean, now we're getting into connections, you know, and how long I've known your dad and all that sort of thing. But,
sure.
You know, in 68, and actually even before that, I got in the film business in New York, and it was a completely other business back then. And but it was New York, so there was always shooting going on all the time. And so, you mentioned dailies, and there was a point where I was doing daily audio, where I worked at the place that made the audio transfers for a Sidney Lumet movie, and I would go see this. Jerry Green would be sitting at his moviola waiting for me to show up with his soundtracks to start putting this movie together. So, of course, I had to see a movie when it came out. It's terrible. It's terrible. Bye-bye Braverman. It was one of the worst Sidney Lumet movies there is.
I'll have to make sure not to watch it.
Jerry's a great sound man, though.
Okay.
I'm sure he's not doing it anymore, but it was wonderful fun. But it runs in the family, the movie business. My son's in the business. And when I go and hang out with all the him and his friends and everything. Everybody's got a screenplay. Everybody has got a screenplay. And then you check with him 3 years later and say, no, it still hasn't become a movie, but it's closer. Mm-hmm. And this is how it works.
It is. It is. Yeah, there's a... that just everything's always up in the air. And, you know, I heard it said once that the job is to just keep laying out track ahead of yourself and try to get all kinds of things going. And, you know, usually about 10% of them will actually happen.
Right.
And that's just part of the deal, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in touch with one guy who wrote a great screenplay, and I want him to come on the show because I love the screenplay so much, and it's based on one of my favorite books. And unfortunately, Werner Herzog bought it.
Bought the screenplay.
He bought the screenplay, but he hasn't shot the movie. Or maybe you never know with Werner because he's so secretive about everything, right?
Right.
And but at one point, like Robin Williams is perfect for this character. And you know, all the stuff I would love to break on the radio about this really interesting creative screenplay, and yet there's always something in the way. I shouldn't even be talking about it right now.
Right.
You know, but, you know, with Werner, you know, he's just such a, an enigma, a sphinx, that it doesn't really much matter.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay. Hey, I'll tell you, Paul, the calls are coming in here. I think what we ought to do is take the break and then get back to the phones as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from BP, supporting public broadcasting in Alaska, and by First National Bank Alaska, serving Alaskans' financial needs for nearly a century, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
You can find APRN headlines from around the state online at alaskapublic.org. There you'll discover local and worldwide news, upcoming events, and statewide community conversation. AlaskaPublic.org, connecting you to Alaska one story at a time.
Oh yeah, it's Talk of Alaska, and we're talking about the motion picture industry, and there's so many different directions to go. It's a pleasure to have Paul Jones here, born in Kotzebue, Alaska, Alaska filmmaker, and doing a workshop on local filmmaking at the Anchorage International Film Festival. Do you know about the other workshops that are going on?
You know, I'm not really too involved with that part of the program.
Uh-huh. But you've been working on prepping for the festival.
That's right. My job for the festival is volunteer coordinator. And, uh-huh. I actually have my fingers in a couple different pies. I've got the workshop going that I'm doing with Bryant that I mentioned. And then my organization, the Alaska Film Forum, has a screening called Best of Open Projector Night, which is an event that we do every few months for local filmmakers here in town. So we have that screening going. And then a movie that I worked on is screening as part of the Snowdance Shorts program.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I think that's really, that open projector is a really wonderful thing. I've actually run those. I used to run those in New York, and you never quite know who's going to show up and carry in this.
Yeah.
Wonderment. I mean, you know, some of them are going to be boring. Some are going to be too long. Some of them you can't figure out if the lighting's bad or whatever. But holy mackerel, you get some real miracles out of that.
You get some really fun stuff. There's that great X factor of just not knowing who's going to show up and what's going to show. And, yeah, it's a really exciting night. And also, the social aspect of that event is just proven to be so valuable.
Yeah.
You know, it's given local filmmakers a chance to come together and get to know one another and get to know one another's work. And it's actually also sort of driven production to a degree, too, because people are making movies specifically so they can show that at this event, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great incentive. This is like if you're a studio artist, you go to your studio and try to make your art every day. But if you have a show coming up, then you have a deadline to get more productive.
That's absolutely right. And also, there's nothing better than feedback from an audience, you know?
Oh, you bet. Let's go to Renee, joins the program from Palmer, Alaska. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Renee.
Thank you. Well, you guys were just talking about writers and all the people here in Alaska who do writing. And I wrote a screenplay, that is the story is based in Alaska. And I have just been really frustrated because we are so far away from Hollywood and all that, trying to figure out how to get someone that is even willing to, you know, look at it, to do any reading on it. Originally when I started writing it, I actually read a book that, you know, called Screenplay about how to write, and they suggested you get a start hunting for an agent. But now, you know, as I've done more reading more recently, they say, well, if you're a new writer, you really should have a manager, and then the manager finds an agent, and it's just so frustrating.
I think it's even more frustrating now, really, in a way, because it's all changing. It's all really getting different. But, I would encourage you to persist. Paul, you're closer to the industry as it is nowadays than me. What's your advice to somebody in Palma that's got a screenplay?
I'm certainly no expert on this side of it. Again, just the general advice of trying to network as much as possible within your community. And I mean, there's ways to submit to agencies and things like that. In Hollywood or New York or whatever. I personally feel like that's such a crapshoot. It's not something that I've looked too deeply into, you know.
Yeah, no, everybody's got a screenplay, man. That's part of the problem, is getting people to read your screenplay. That's damn hard.
It is. It is. It absolutely is. And again, you know, just networking within the community as much as possible. Renee, I would also recommend hanging around the film festival quite a bit, because that's one of those events that people in the state who are interested in film come together for. So, you know, just trying to sort of be part of that event and part of that community is a good first step.
Yeah,
you know.
I think the social part, the schmoozing part, certainly works for people in Hollywood. I mean, a lot of people that work in restaurants have screenplays.
That's right.
And, you're just looking for that to make that connection that might make the chemistry happen for the screenplay. And it's funny, years can go by, and then all of a sudden, bam, pop, there it is.
Right.
It just happens. But I mean, if you don't get out there in some way, shape or form, and I think, you know, that's just got to be the first step is that social step.
Right. Okay. Well, I just wondered if you had any other advice than what I had heard. But I just appreciate your program, and it's great to just hear you talking about this kind of stuff.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot. It's a really great pleasure for me. I got one screenplay story I wanted to share, and that I just happened to run across this. There's a movie called Beat the Devil, and it's based on a book written by the legendary journalist Claude Coburn. And Claude was pretty much of a left-wing journalist, but a very interesting character in the history of journalism. And he wrote this this book when he needed money, but it's a great book, and it really is more of a screenplay than a book, and it's just all these great adventures, and they happen along the Mediterranean. You know, it's a great location, fabulous dialogue and all that. John Huston got this one.
Mm.
John Huston tried to make a movie out of it. The studio told him he had to use Gina Lola Brigida. It's one of the worst movies ever made. Even worse than Bye Bye Braverman. It's just all this wonderful, clever dialogue. Most of it they didn't have time for. Worse than that, this cast includes like people like all the people that were in Maltese Falcon. Hmm. But evidently they just ended up on the beach someplace in the Mediterranean and got drunk all the time. And just they turned into the most god-awful movie you ever saw in your life. Great dialogue, great everything going for it. Let's go to Bjorn, joins the program from Homer. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Bjorn.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, thanks for the great show. I wanted to tell a little story real quick and see if there was any interest in hoping to see if there's interest in the Anchorage International Film Festival finding and presenting this film that I had to search for years. The screenplay was written by one of my favorite authors, Peter Freuchen, and the title is Eskimo, and they shot it in Teller over the course of, I think, like a year, and I finally, my brother found a VHS copy, and it is everything that I had hoped that it would be. It was such an amazing film, and anyway, I think it would be awesome, you know, if that was brought out of the archives and presented again in some kind of public manner. It's such a great film. Can't be recommended enough.
Right. You know, I think there is room for some event of that sort. I don't know exactly how we would congeal it, but I do remember that we had the Ray Mala Film Festival, which I thought worked out fairly well. And I certainly would be really interested in seeing movies like, you know, Ice Palace, you know, and some of the other Alaska located movies, maybe even that stupid Abbott and Costello thing. you know, just wall to wall, it'd probably be quite the hoot. And to actually have some really things that reach a high level of quality, like some of Prenicke's stuff from out in the middle of the woods, that I think there's really the makings of something good there.
I think it would be so cool. My other point, kind of just a real broad thing, is I'm in the process right now of trying to make my first feature-length documentary, and everybody's been kind of trying to steer me towards, you know, Kickstarter. And, you know, potentially, you know, our film might go that way to try to get funding. But, you know, there are a couple of other examples of something similar to that in the Yukon Territory. And, you know, just kind of throwing it out there that I think that, you know, it would be great if we had some kind of institution like that in Alaska to help promote, you know, especially like rural places that don't have financing or the wherewithal to, you know, get their little projects, brought to the kind of the next level. You know, just some kind of online, you know, philanthropy for, you know, struggling independent filmmakers to get there.
Kickstarter's the only one I know of, but I rather expect there's going to be more.
There's a few out there. Yeah, there's a few websites like that that allow you to do microfunding. And I actually used Kickstarter to fund a short that I shot back in the spring and I'm currently finishing. And you know, there are, I do know that a lot of the arts funding organizations in the state here are interested in supporting film. So it is worth looking at the various grant programs and things like that if you're interested in pursuing that kind of funding.
I also would add that I think you'll find the State Arts Council is taking a little bit more interest in filmmaking than they once did.
In fact, I'm actually working with them to program a filmmaking panel discussion and screening as part of their conference in January. So yeah, they absolutely are. I'm working directly with them.
Yeah, what really happened there was that basically the arts funding dwindled to the point where the media arts amount was so small that no filmmaker even bothered. Hmm. And things have changed now. Things are different because media arts is different, filmmaking is different, and so forth. So, yeah, Bjorn, just I think the internet's the way to go, man.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for your great program.
All right. Thanks for your call. And go ahead, Paul. We only got about a minute now.
I did just want to add one thing briefly. If you do wind up going with Kickstarter or a microfunding website of that nature, remember that Facebook is your best friend.
Okay. Yeah, indeed. Or until the next thing comes along.
That's right.
Thanks so much for being with us, Paul. What's the name of your next film?
Oh, the name of my next film? Well, the name of the film that I'm currently finishing is Pretty Little Victim, and I expect to be able to screen that at Open Projector Night in March.
In March.
That's right, yeah.
And that'll be where? At Out North, or where do they do Open Projector?
We haven't settled on a venue for that one yet. Yeah, we did the last one at Out North, and it was fantastic, so we have to look at...
Okay, gotta go. Thank you so much for Tony Shepard, Paul Jones, our guest, Dave Waldron, Josh Edge on the crew. I'm Steve Heimel. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by BuzzBiz Studios, a full-spectrum media production studio with marketing services. BuzzBiz Studios help Alaskan businesses be seen and be heard in all advertising media. Additional information at buzzbiz.biz. And by Premera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska, which has been providing quality health plans to companies and individuals in Alaska for over 60 years. More at Premera.com. Premera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska. We know the territory. Alaska Pacific University offers accelerated BA and MBA business degrees with personalized attention for your professional goals, online classes, and small class size supported by a highly respected faculty. A degree from APU is your best value in the business community. Start or finish your business degree at Alaska Pacific University. Enroll now for the spring semester. Learn more at business.alaskapacific.edu. This message sponsored by the Alaska Pacific University Business Department. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.